This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel, and in this part of our program, Political Thrillers in 21st Century Settings. We're going to hear about two new novels that make suspenseful plots out of the people and places in today's headlines. In a moment, a North Korean detective story. But first, Body of Lies. That's David Ignatius's latest spy novel set in the Middle East. Ignatius, who is a Washington Post columnist, has taken up the challenge of writing about Al-Qaeda and a fictional CIA attempt to penetrate it, an attempt that goes disastrously wrong.
I hope it's a metaphor in some ways for our situation as a country. We've been struggling with this adversary. We don't understand it very well. We've been trying to combat it, but in the process we're doing things to ourselves that, you know, we're beginning to drive ourselves crazy. That said, I did do a lot of research for the book. The book centers around American efforts jointly with the Jordanian intelligence service, and that's intelligence service I've done a lot of reporting about as a journalist. So I've tried to draw on some of their tradecraft. The book has some scenes that members of this Jordanian Mukhabarat, as it's called, will recognize, I hope, smile at, because they track reality a little bit. And I've also written about something that's very much in the news, which is interrogation, techniques of interrogation, what you get out of interrogation. The Jordanians are regarded in the Arab world as masters of this because, unlike some other Arab intelligence services, they don't spend all their time beating people over the head with truncheons. Their secret, they say, is that they know how to use the family of the person who's in prison, the family that wants that person to live, the family that wants its own life to go on as normal, as leverage in a way that it's said, even with some very hardened Al-Qaeda members, has made them cooperative, gotten them to tell their secrets.
You use I won't say terribly familiar, but a not entirely new device of the secret unit within the spy agency. I mean, almost the CIA within the CIA.
Well, the head CIA figure in this book decides to create in secret the CIA that would exist if it didn't have all the restrictions that the existing CIA has. And the CIA of this novel, it really is an enfeebled institution. It is surrounded by lawyers, by congressional overseers, by administration warriors, and it's very hard for that agency to do its job. So he creates literally an underground CIA that's, you know, under one of the parking lots out at Langley that does the things that he dreams an intelligence agency could do. He's very aggressive. He breaks all the nominal rules, and you have to read the book to find out what happens, but I think it's fair to say that he gets himself into more trouble than he has success.
The challenge facing any spy novelist is to convince the reader that we should believe, as we're reading a good spy novel, that all of this could happen quite well.
Well, I think you're right. I think it should be plausible. I don't like spy novels that are too fanciful, the kind of James Bond, blood and guts, people getting killed every other minute. I mean,
jet-propelled shoes.
Life isn't like that. Certainly the life of an intelligence officer isn't like that. A lot of what an intelligence officer does is wait, set up meetings, wait for the meetings to take place, digest the meetings. And, there's some of that in this book. I think that what's interesting about the intelligence business is what's interesting about journalism, which is the contact between human beings, getting someone to give you information, to do something for you that person wouldn't do otherwise, in the process of seduction, drawing them closer, almost inevitably in intelligence, as in journalism, I should say, a process of a kind of betrayal where you cannot, in the end, deliver the things that they most want, and so you leave them hanging.
It's David Ignatius. His book is called Body of Lies. Our second author has written a book about a stubborn, not overly bright, but very independent-minded detective in, of all places, North Korea.
When I first started writing this book, I was sitting in a North Korean consulate, and the idea came, Raymond Chandler meets Kim Jong-il.
That is not author James Church's real voice, and that's not even his real name. The author was an intelligence officer for more than 20 years, and he's asked us to disguise his voice because he still deals with North Korea as a private citizen, and his new career as a writer of detective novels, he says, would put an end to those dealings. The book is A Corpse in the Choreo, and the cop, Inspector O, gets caught up in a conflict between two rival North Korean security services.
there are so many layers of intelligence and security and police that you can imagine them tripping over each other quite frequently, sometimes humorously and sometimes not. And in this case, it's a fairly deadly competition that O finds himself in the middle of.
You write a convincing story of a country that's pretty impenetrable. What's the atmosphere we should be coming away with about North Korea if we're getting it right here?
First of all, this is just a story. I didn't have a political agenda in writing. And I wanted to see if you took the classic forms of a detective story, the dialogue and plot line, and you dropped it into the North Korean setting, what would happen to it? Would it be transformed? Or would it possibly illuminate some things in North Korea that people don't generally see because of the tidal wave of stereotypes that they normally get about the place?
Well, it's one thing that at least connects with our preconceptions of North Korea is that a tremendous number of things don't work when people want to plug them in or lock them up or whatever it might be.
That's right. They have to be very, very good at improvising. And they do a very good job at it. I mean, when you go to North Korea, you're not on Pluto. You're not in some cold, distant place at the edge of the universe. This is planet Earth. These are human beings, and the same bounds and boundaries and choices and fate are operating on their lives just like everywhere else.
It's a country where I'm very taken with the descriptions of nature and how lush the countryside often is, but it's a country that's hard up.
It is hard up. The point you just made about scenery is very interesting. Most people tend to think of North Korea like the surface of the moon, sort of like this blasted, barren place. And there are obviously places that are environmentally degraded. But there are lots of places where it's still very, very pretty.
I'd like you to talk a little bit about the transition, as candidly as you can, from intelligence officer to novelist. You're going to spend the rest of your life drawing on what you learned as an intelligence officer and being at the same time somehow discreet about it.
Frightening thought. There are, of course, some people who would maintain that even when I was an intelligence officer, I was writing fiction because they didn't always agree with what I did. So they would say, the transition isn't quite as great for him as might seem. It is true that there are great similarities between what a intelligence officer has to do a good job, and what a fiction writer has to do. You have to exercise your imagination. It's critical. Everything you get is not hard information. You have to stretch reality sometimes not in order to make it fit, but in order to find the places where it does reasonably fit. You have to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. You have to think like somebody else. And you have to do that well, not just artificially. You really have to be inside of their heads. And to that extent, there's some skills that maybe have transferred.
James Church, that's a pen name, author of A Corpse in the Choreo. His voice was altered to keep his identity secret, and I assure you that we restored it to normal after the interview. Earlier, David Ignatius talked about his spy novel, Body of Lies, and you can find out who inspired these authors and read excerpts of their novels at npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.